Good morning. It's nice to see everyone here. Appreciate everyone's being here and appreciate everyone that's been able to call in. We definitely have some ones that we need to be considering and remembering in our prayers, and we all need to be considering each other. And I thought that would be a good topic for our lesson this morning, is how we do need to be preferring one another and what the Lord says about that, even in hard times such as these. And we'll start out this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 1, the Lord has some things for us to consider here. He says, "A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go into the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." You know, we're looking at these times that we're in right now, and, you know, this is a time that I think many of us have never seen such a thing in our lifetimes. We maybe have, remember stories that our parents or our grandparents have told us about times past that were very, very strange to our ears, of what they went through in times such as the World Wars or the Spanish Flu or things like that. And now we're hearing, you know, in our news that we have this pestilence that is covering the world that has that potential to take the lives of tens or even hundreds of millions of people, which is really more than all of our world wars that we had in the 20th century. And, you know, we think about, well, is this one of those times that's coming up? You know, many of us have heard those stories, but we were never part of those situations ourselves. And now we wonder, well, is this one of those times that, we're facing? And we don't know how long this is going to go on. Is it going to go on for a few weeks or a few months, or could it go on for years? And we just don't know at this point. And, of course, there's many that are anxious about these times and what is going to happen. We all do need to remind ourselves of what the Scriptures teach us about the Lord being in control. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, we all need to be reminding ourselves here of what it teaches us, where he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." We do need to be reminded that we are of value to our Heavenly Father if we are serving Him and faithful to Him and fulfilling His purpose, and that He is watching out for us, and that none of us is going to depart this earth without it being His will. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father. And He knows what we need, and He knows how to take care of us, and we need to be comforted in knowing that. We need to be comforted in knowing that He's working all of these things. He is in full control of this world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 says here, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will." God is working all of these things after the counsel of His own will. Now, we also know that what the promise is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where he says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So God is working all of these things after the counsel of His own will. We may not understand exactly what the Lord has in mind here, but nevertheless, it is His will. And we have the promise that if we are loving Him and keeping His commandments, if we're following that purpose that He has for us, that He is going to work these things for our good. And we need to be encouraged by that and reminded that the Lord is doing these things for some purpose. And so we come to the question then, what is it then that our response should be in the coming days and weeks and however long that this may go? What is our response to be here? Well, if we consider back to what we read just a minute ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, you know, as we consider, there have already been quite a number of folks in this world that have died. We see that it looks very likely that that will continue for some time and that there will be many who don't make it through this pestilence. And what does the Lord tell us in verse 2 there of Ecclesiastes 7? He says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Well, one of the things that we should be doing during this time is laying these things to our hearts and considering, why is it that the Lord does these things? You know, we can find in the scriptures, and we'll maybe save this for another lesson, of where the Lord often does and has brought pestilence upon the people in this world, pestilences of different kinds. And one of the primary reasons that he did so was to humble the people and to bring them back to their Creator. And so when we lay these things to heart, we need to remember there is a reason for this. It's not just some random event, as many in the world might want to attribute it to. There is a reason for this, and we need to be laying these reasons to heart and considering, why is it that the Lord would be doing such things? And of course, we can go back to the scriptures and consider the many, many reasons throughout the many examples there that he brought those situations. But here in Ecclesiastes, when the Lord speaks of the day of our death and the house of mourning and laying these things to heart, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is that this is not, we're not here permanently, are we? It reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us of the fact that we aren't going to be here forever. And, well, what is it that we need to really, what is important, right? It does really bring out the things that are important. And we should be considering, what are those important things? We also need to be encouraged by what he says there in verse 3. He says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. There's already been quite a bit of sadness in varying degrees for different ones, and there may be more sadness to come. But what does the Lord say here about this sadness? Well, he says here, by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. And we need to be encouraged by the fact that our hearts can be made better through these things if we lay them to heart and we consider them in the way that the Lord wants us to be considering them. When we think about the heart, we understand God's talking about things that are eternal here, that part of us that is eternal, that part of us that is going to go on. And when that spiritual part of us can be made better, we need to have some hope there, don't we? And it needs to be encouraging that we can be made stronger through this and better off for eternity. And so we need to be considering that we are mortal and that our days on this earth will come to an end. And it may be sooner and it may be later. We just don't know. But we need to consider, while we are here, what are we going to do with our days? How are we going to use our days? What are we going to put our priorities on? And of course, we understand that we need to have our priorities on those things that are eternal, that we need to be focused on those things that are having to do with our souls, the part of us that will go on for eternity. And one particular aspect that I do want us to consider this morning is, during these times, how do we need to be working with each other? You know, there are already many of us that have been affected in different ways with our health, perhaps the loss of loved ones, financially. There's going to be many possible ways that different ones will be affected here. We're all going to have our faith tested through these situations. It's already been tested to a degree, and it looks like it's going to be tested for some time to come. And we need to consider that this is a test, and we need to consider, what do we need to go to in God's Word to show us how to get through these times and how to deal with these kinds of situations. This is a very, very new and unique situation for most of us here. And we need to be reminded that we're not alone in this, that we do have our brethren, and that we have encouragement from each other. And on the other side of that, we also need to be reminded that we have a responsibility, and what the Lord teaches us in the Scriptures, that we need to be encouraging others of our brethren, and that we have a job to do ourselves as well. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verses 19 through 22. Here he says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." We are all fellow citizens and part of that household of God. God dwells among us as his people that make up that one spiritual temple. And we need to recognize the very, very special nature of that household of God and those that make up that household. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, he speaks of it as a body here. Verse 18, it says that Jesus, he is the body of the church, head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Christ is described as being the head of the body, which is the church. And he goes on in Romans chapter 12 and talks about how those different parts of the body need to be working with each other. We'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 12. And we need to really this morning put this in the context of the situation that we're facing today and these times that we're in. Here in verse 1, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, and which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." We are many members here of the one body of Christ. And he tells us here that we need, in verse 10, we need to be kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love. We need to be considering this as our heavenly spiritual family, and we need to consider that brotherly love that needs to continue in these times. And he says there at the end of verse 10 that we need to, in honor, prefer one another. And we all remember that that word honor is that word value, that we need to be valuing each and every individual member of the body. And when we value someone, we're considering them, aren't we? And we're considering how we need to be taking care of them and what needs to be done. If something's valuable to us, we're going to care for it. And we're going to have it in our consideration all the time. And we need to be valuing one another in the body of Christ and considering, yes, these are difficult times that we're in, and how is it that this brother or this sister is dealing with their situation in this time? How is it that each one is affected in their different ways? And we need to understand that there will likely be different ways that different ones are affected. He talks there about distributing to the necessity of the saints and being given to hospitality. There are going to be times where there are going to be different needs, and especially new needs that maybe we haven't had to consider in the past. And we need to be ready to distribute to those needs that our brethren have. And as he says there in verse 13, we need to be given to hospitality. And of course, we've got some special challenges that have been put in front of us in terms of how we are hospitable with one another. But, you know, we need to continue to do what the Lord is commanding us to do here. We need to find ways to continue to help one another and to be hospitable towards one another. Verse 15, he tells us we need to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We need to be considering the situations that we're all in. And when somebody has a situation that they're able to rejoice in, we need to be right there and be a part of that. When somebody has a situation that may come up that is causing them to weep, we need to be right there for them in that time as well. And it's important as much now as at any time, because there are going to be a lot of folks that have different situations happen. And we need to be considering each other and how we can help one another through these times. And, you know, we can't just stop doing these things because things have gotten harder in some way. We need to find different ways that we can fulfill these obligations that we have to our fellow brethren in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we need to be reminded here that we all have a function in this body, and some may be able to do certain things while others can do other things, and we should be reminded of the fact that the Lord, that is by design, and that the Lord has put us in this body to fulfill our part in that body. Beginning in verse 12 of chapter 12, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are you the body of Christ and members in particular?" You know, it should be very apparent from looking at this passage that every single member of the body is important, and that each one has a function. That the body is not going to function properly without those different functions. And we've already been seeing that, haven't we, as this situation has kind of unfolded in the last few weeks. We've seen different members that have had taken different roles in accomplishing certain things. And we need to consider, well, that's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it? The Lord has put us here, and we need to all be considering, what is the part that I play here? What is the response that I need to have in this situation? Where is it that I can provide my service? And we all need to be considering each other and working with each other to get one another through this. We need to consider that it is serving when we are doing these things. Philippians chapter 2 teaches us about this mind that we need to have of serving, that this was the mind of Christ, and he wants us to have that same mind. Beginning in verse 1 here, he says, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 3, here he tells us we need to be, how we need to be considering each other. He says, in lowliness of mind, we need to be esteeming others better than ourselves. And that calls for sacrifice many times on our parts. And during these times, there's likely to be many, many opportunities where we need to be considering others and being willing to sacrifice so that we can fulfill that need that is there. As it says in verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We need to be looking at each and every individual member of the congregation here, and we all need to be considering each and every individual member, and what does each one need, and what is it that I can do to help them? What is it that I need to do to serve them? And he gives us that example of Christ and how Christ had that humility to take upon himself the form of a servant. That's our example, that we need to be considering that example that we have in Christ. And how is it that we are going to serve one another through these difficult times? Sometimes we're going to have to be forbearing with one another in these times. And that's another command that the Lord has given us. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 to 3. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Forbearing one another. Many times in these types of situations, we have different ideas about how certain things need to be handled. Different things are going to be coming up, and one person may have one idea and another person may have a different idea. And we need to be forbearing one another in these situations and realizing that everyone has their part here, and that we need to be seeking this bond of peace that he talks about in verse 3, and that we need to work with one another. We need to be considering the individual situations that we all have, as he tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Here he says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We do need to be considering one another. How is it that we can continue, even in these times, to provoke our brethren to love and to good works? How is it that we can continue to assemble together? And we've come up with some creative ways over the last few days for us to come together and encourage each other. I think everyone, I know Wednesday night was encouraged by the call and being able to come together and on that call and to be able to speak with one another and to come together to hear the Lord's word. And so we all need to be looking for what are these different ways that maybe we haven't thought of before to make sure that we are continuing to come together so that we can exhort one another. That exhorting is literally to call near. We need to be calling each other near in whatever way that we can think of. Hebrews chapter 3 is another chapter where we find the same commandment of exhorting one another. We'll read verses 12 through 14 here. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." You know, it's interesting in the situation that we're in. I think there is at least a, it does push us a little bit to consider each other more, doesn't it? Because we realize that we're challenged, and we're seeing others also that are having their faith tested. And I think we've already probably seen that it's causing us to be considering each other more, and we should continue to do so, and we should continue to do that more and more. And again, this consider what we read earlier there in Ecclesiastes, where he said, by the sadness of the heart, we grow through these things that we're seeing, and that our heart is made better. Well, as we're considering each other in these difficult times, isn't that something that is causing our hearts to grow through these difficult times? Where it's causing us to consider each other more. It's causing us to perhaps grow in our love for each other more. It's causing us to really consider what is it that the Lord wants us to be doing for each other in these situations. And it's kind of gotten us pulled away from our normal routines and gotten us more focused on thinking about what are the needs that the Lord has brought about with the members of the body, and how is it that I need to work with that. And so we all need to consider, what is our role here? How is it that we can exhort each other, provoke each other to love and good works, forbear with each other, value each other, and continue to build up the body? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see here that the Apostle Paul was greatly encouraged by the different ones that were working in the church. And we need to consider that this is a time that we all can be encouraged from each other if we will continue to work and build up the body. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, it says, "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." So notice here how he starts about these good tidings that that he has gotten of the work that the church was doing here in Thessalonica. Timothy brought these tidings to tell him about how the church was working. And what did he speak of when he came to Paul? Well, he spoke to Paul of their faith and their love that they had for one another, and how they were continuing to remember Paul and his work, and that they were continuing to desire to see Paul and those others that were in this work. And what was Paul's response in verse 2 or verse 7? He was comforted in his affliction. So yes, indeed, Paul was going through a very difficult time in the things that he was doing. He was being distressed in very many ways. But at the same time, in verse 7, it notes here that he was comforted by their faith. So we, in our faith, can be a comfort to one another. And we need to consider the example that we all present to each other and how that faith is something that we can all be comforted in and that we need to continue to be strong in that faith. We'll conclude this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we've been covering this in our Wednesday night class, and we'll read this again because it's something we, these ones, had in mind every day, and it's something that we need to be reminded of every day. It says in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." You know, it does, these times do remind us of our mortality and that this isn't the this isn't what our hope is. This earth and this life is not where our hope is. It is that life to come. And we all need to have our focus drawn to that life to come and being prepared for when the Lord does return to judge the world in righteousness. And that we need to be viewing this world as not our home, that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, just as these ones of faith that we read about here in Hebrews chapter 11, just as they had that mind that this isn't my home, we need to have that same mind also. And these times remind us of that, that this is not our home, and that we are desiring a better country, a heavenly country, and that our work here is to do the Lord's work and to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. And again, part of that work that we have to do here is considering the extra efforts that we need to be making to serve one another, and especially through these difficult times. There will be some mourning, there will be some heavy hearts, there will be some anxiety. All of these things that we need to be considering with ourselves and with our brethren, we need to be working to encourage each other. And as we said earlier in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3, remembering that he said our hearts can be made better through these things. We need to be encouraged by the fact that that's what the Lord is wanting here, is that he's trying to form our hearts to be like that of his son, to be like his own, to have that nature in us. And so we need to consider what the Lord's nature is and how the Lord would be responding and how we need to respond in the situation that we're in. Getting ready to, Lord willing, have a song here in just a minute that we'll offer as a song of invitation for those that have not yet begun to run that race and to put on Christ. If you've not done so and have a desire to do so, we want you to make that known. And if you will also offer this as a time of opportunity for those that need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, if you have a need, we offer this as a time for you to come forward and make that known. So if you have any of these needs, we do ask that you would come forward as we all stand together and sing this morning.